You pulled up a weather briefing, got to the AirMet section, and instead of the text blocks your ground school described, you found colored polygons sliding across a map. No capital letter descriptions of affected geographic areas, no strings of navigation fix identifiers to decode, just shaded shapes you could advance through time like a slideshow. If that happened to you on your first real pre-flight brief, you're not alone. A lot of training materials are still describing a product that hasn't existed since 2017. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, and today we're walking through the graphical AirMet system, the G-AirMet, from the ground up. Because 9 years in, this tool is still catching students off guard on checkride orals, and I'd rather fix that now than have you find out about it across the table from your examiner. Big thanks first to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. Now let's get into it. October 4th, 2017, that's the date, the Aviation Weather Center retired the old text format AirMets and replaced them with the G-AirMet system. Not gradually, not partially. They were gone. Any training material still describing text AirMets as an active product is describing something that no longer exists in the briefing package you will actually use. Here's what the old system looked like. A text block issued every 6 hours, valid for up to 6 hours with a written geographic description of the area affected. AirMet Sierra for air conditions over the following area, followed by a list of VOR identifiers and reporting fixes that formed a polygon you had to visualize in your head. If you had the Victor airway structure memorized, that worked fine. Most student pilots don't, so those descriptions were often just letters strung together unless you actually plotted them on a chart. The G-AirMet does something better. It puts the information directly on a map with color-coded geographic shapes. You can see exactly where the hazard areas are, and you can step through those areas in time, which changes the way you interpret the forecast entirely. Here is how the timing works, because this is where confusion starts for most people learning the system. G-AirMets are issued every 6 hours, like their text predecessors. But instead of a text block with a valid from to valid to window, each G-AirMet gives you a series of snapshots. Those snapshots are valid at specific times, not during a range, at a point in time. The snapshots are available at 3-hour intervals through 12 hours from issuance. So if a G-AirMet is issued at midnight Zulu, you can look at the snapshot valid at 300 Zulu, 600 Zulu, 900 Zulu, and 1200 Zulu. You're looking at a prediction of conditions at each of those specific moments. That distinction matters more than it might seem. The old text AirMet said, valid from 0100 Zulu to 0700 Zulu. You knew conditions were expected throughout that entire 6-hour window. The G-AirMet says here is the affected area at 0300 Zulu. What that means for your planning is that you need to look at the snapshot closest to your flight time and understand whether conditions are building toward that picture or winding down from it, depending on where in the cycle you fall. In practice, you want to step through multiple snapshots and watch the motion picture rather than any single frame. Watch the hazard area grow or shrink over the 12-hour window. A shrinking area tells you things are improving. A growing area tells you conditions are building. That trend is more useful than any one snapshot could ever be. Now let's talk about what the G-AirMet actually covers. There are three letter-designated types that will look familiar if you have done any ground school. G-AirMet Sierra covers instrument flight rules, conditions, or IFR. That means ceilings forecast below 1,000 feet or visibility forecast below 3 statute miles. For visual flight rules pilots, or VFR pilots, Sierra is the critical product. This is the one that says don't go here without instrument clearance and an airplane equipped for it. Sierra also covers mountain obscuration, which is terrain hidden by clouds, precipitation, or haze. Mountain obscuration can show up even when the ceiling and visibility numbers technically don't fall below IFR thresholds. A scattered layer at 4,000 feet above ground level might look benign from the valley, but those same clouds could be sitting right in passes at 12,000 or 13,000 feet. If you're routing across significant terrain, pay close attention to the mountain obscuration layer within Sierra. This is the one that catches VFR pilots who think they can thread through the hills because the valley weather looks okay. G-AirMet Tango covers turbulence. Specifically, moderate or greater turbulence, sustained surface winds of 30 knots or more, and low-level wind shear below 2,000 feet above ground level. Tango areas are broken out by altitude bands, which is one of the genuine improvements the graphical format made over its text predecessor. Instead of reading turbulence from the surface to 18,000 feet and trying to figure out where your planned cruise altitude falls within that, you can filter the tango layer to your altitude range and see exactly which geographic areas apply to the level where you plan to fly. For students, here's something I wish someone had explained early. Moderate turbulence is not necessarily a trip ender on a short solo cross-country in a robust training aircraft, but it is information. It factors into your decision about passenger comfort, your proficiency at hand flying in rough air, and your fuel burn in a headwind that might be accompanying the same weather system generating that tango area. Look at tango as a planning input, not just a stop sign. GAIRMET Zulu covers airframe icing and freezing level information. Zulu is particularly important for instrument-rated pilots flying in instrument meteorological conditions, or IMC. But it matters for VFR pilots too. If you're flying in visible moisture above the freezing level, without certified ice protection equipment, you should not be there. Here's something that trips people up on Zulu. The freezing level is displayed as a separate layer from the icing hazard itself. The icing hazard layer shows where airframe icing is forecast to be present. The freezing level layer shows where 0 degrees Celsius is forecast to be found at altitude. These are related pieces of information, but they are not the same thing. You can be above the freezing level in clear air and not encounter icing. You can also be in cloud below the freezing level and encounter icing if there is supercooled liquid water present. The freezing level is a reference point, not a guarantee of icing or freedom from icing. Understanding that distinction is exactly the kind of nuance your examiner will probe when weather briefing comes up in the oral. Now let me walk you through using this product in an actual pre-flight brief, because knowing what the product is and knowing how to integrate it into a decision are two different things. You can access the GAIRMET system directly at aviationweather.gov. That's the Aviation Weather Center's public website, and it's free. Under the Aviation menu, you will find the area for Significant Meteorological Information Products and AIRMETs. Once you're in the AIRMET section, you'll see a map viewer where you can select which GAIRMET layers to display. You can show all of them at once or filter by type My, recommendation. When you're learning the system, look at them one type at a time, Sierra first, then Tango, then Zulu. Get comfortable reading each layer separately before you try to interpret all three together. The All Hazards view is useful for an experienced pilot making a quick scan. For someone building fluency with the product, looking at everything simultaneously is the fastest way to get confused. For pilots already using electronic flight bag software or an EFB, the GAIRMET data is integrated into most of the major platforms. ForeFlight, Garmin Pilot, FlyQ, all of them pull GAIRMET information into their weather layer displays. The interface differs by platform, but the underlying data is the same. Knowing how to access GAIRMETs on aviationweather.gov directly is still worth your time, though, because the primary source is often cleaner than what gets filtered through a third-party display, and it gives you access to the full-time step animation without any proprietary interpretation layered on top. Here is how I actually structure a VFR weather briefing that incorporates the GAIRMET. Start with Current Conditions Meteorological Aerodrome Reports, or METARs, at your departure airport, at a few points along your route, and at your destination. That is your ground truth. That is what instrumented observers actually measured at those stations. Second, terminal forecasts. Terminal aerodrome forecasts, or TAFs, at your departure and destination if they have them. Not every small airport has a TAF, but you look where you can. The TAF tells you what the meteorologists forecast for those specific airports through their valid period. Third, pull up the GAIRMET. Start with Sierra. Find the snapshot closest to your planned flight time and scan your route. Are there IFR condition areas in your path? Mountain obscuration areas you would need to cross? This is where VFR flight transitions from possible to questionable on the map. Fourth, look at Tango at your planned altitude. Fifth, check the Significant Meteorological Information Products, or SIGMETs. SIGMETs represent a higher severity threshold than AIRMETs, and AIRMET flags conditions that may be significant to certain categories of aircraft. A SIGMET is issued when the hazard level exceeds what an AIRMET covers. Severe thunderstorm activity, extreme turbulence, severe icing in areas not already captured. A convective SIGMET, which specifically covers thunderstorm activity, is effectively a hard no for most general aviation flight in or near that area. If you see active convective SIGMETs along your route, that is not a nuanced risk assessment conversation. That is a no-go until conditions change. Now let's talk about what your examiner is actually looking for when weather comes up in the oral. The Airman Certification Standards, or ACS, for private pilot include weather interpretation as a required knowledge area, but your examiner is not going to ask you to recite the definition of G Airman. They're going to put a real weather scenario in front of you and ask you to make a decision. Here's your planned route. Here is the briefing package. Is this a go or a no-go? And why? To answer that question well, you need to look at a G Airman Sierra display and say, I see an IFR conditions area over this mountain range. Looking at the time snapshots, it appears at the 900 Zulu snapshot and is still present at 1200 Zulu. My planned crossing of that terrain is around 1100 Zulu. The area is in my path. I cannot legally or safely fly VFR through instrument conditions. So this is either a route deviation, a departure delay, or a no-go, and here is how I would determine which. That reasoning is what the ACS wants to see. Not I see a blue area on the map, but I know what that area represents. I know when it applies to my specific flight, I have integrated it with the other weather information I gathered, and here is my decision and the logic behind it. Let me give you a concrete scenario to work through mentally. You're planning a morning cross-country from the Midwest toward the Rocky Mountains. Planned departure around 8 in the morning local time. Your destination is roughly 3 hours of flying. You pull up the G Airmet the evening before your flight. At the 600 Zulu snapshot, the Sierra layer is clear along your entire route. At the 900 Zulu snapshot, a Sierra area has appeared over the foothills. At 1200 Zulu, that Sierra area has grown and now covers the mountain passes you would need to cross. You're departing at 8 in the morning local time in the mountain time zone. During summer, 8 local is roughly 1400 Zulu. You would be approaching those foothills around 15 or 1600 Zulu. The G Airmet snapshots only run through 1200 Zulu in this example. You don't have a snapshot at 1500. Does that mean you don't know anything about conditions when you would actually be there? No, you know the trend. Clear at 600, IFR at 900. Larger IFR at 1200. That is a building situation. Conditions are not improving toward your flight time. Every snapshot shows the problem getting worse. Can you say with certainty that the passes will be closed to VFR when you arrive? No, but can you say this situation requires more investigation and probably a delay or deviation? Absolutely yes. That's trend analysis. One snapshot is a data point. Multiple snapshots tell a story, and that story is more actionable than any single frame could ever be. Here is something else that comes up in training conversations almost every week. Students sometimes conflate METARs and G Airmets. They sound similar. They are completely different classes of information. A METAR is an observation. It reports actual measured conditions at a specific airport at a specific time. A METAR tells you what has happened. A G Airmet is a forecast. It tells you what meteorologists believe will happen based on the available atmospheric data and modeling. One reports facts, the other reports predictions. You need both, and neither replaces the other. Here's the practical consequence of that distinction that I want you to carry with you. A clear METAR at your destination does not cancel a Sierra G Airmet area over your route. Conditions can be reporting clear at the airport in the valley and simultaneously be obscured at altitude in the terrain between your departure and your arrival. The METAR tells you what's happening at that reporting station. The G Airmet tells you what's expected along the path between stations. Check the G Airmet for your route, not just your departure and arrival points, and take the time to check the areas between your checkpoints, not just at them. A G Airmet Sierra area sitting over a 100-mile stretch of terrain between two perfectly clear airports is still a trip ender for a VFR pilot. If you're in training right now and you haven't spent time with the G Airmet viewer outside of an actual flight planning session, that is your homework this week. Go to aviationweather.gov when you have no flight to plan, no pressure, and no decision to make. Pull up the viewer. Look at Sierra, Tango, and Zulu separately for your part of the country. Step through the time snapshots, animate them. Watch how the hazard areas grow and shrink over a 12-hour window. Do that on a day when the weather is benign. Learn what the product looks like when nothing significant is happening, so you have a baseline. Because when something is building, you'll recognize it immediately, instead of spending 3 minutes trying to remember what you're looking at. That kind of familiarity is worth more than any amount of reading about the product. The goal is to make the briefing routine, not a puzzle to solve under pressure every time. Sources for today's segment include the Federal Aviation Administration's Aviation Weather Center, the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, and the Airman Certification Standards. More at radiohangar.com. Check the G Airmet before you go. Every time